This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use a third-party reference point as an anchor. Set the negotiation range before your counterpart does. In short, a third-party reference point gives your anchor objectivity that a bare number never has. Used well, it sets the psychological range before your counterpart speaks, shifts the burden of proof onto them, and keeps the conversation grounded in evidence rather than competing desires. Introduce the external data before any offer is on the table. Name the source clearly so the anchor carries credibility, not just assertion. Prepare multiple independent sources so you can hold ground if challenged. Definition: a third-party reference point is an external data source, such as a published salary survey, a market price index, or an industry benchmark, that one party introduces in a negotiation to establish a credible anchor around which the discussion of value or price is shaped. I want to tell you about a moment I watched a capable professional lose several thousand pounds before the negotiation had properly begun. She had done her homework. She knew what she wanted. She sat down, waited politely for the other side to speak first, and the moment they named a number, the whole conversation was playing on their ground. Every figure discussed after that felt like movement away from their anchor, not toward hers. She ended up settling at a point she had privately decided was her floor, not her target. After, she told me she felt she had won a little. She had not. She had simply lost less than she feared. That is what happens when you seed the anchor. The third-party reference point, used as an anchor at the right moment, is one of the most practical tools available to anyone in a negotiation. It is not manipulation. It is preparation meeting psychology. This article gives you the process how to find credible external data, how and when to introduce it, and how to hold your position when it gets pushed back on. Why setting the anchor feels harder than it looks. Most people know, in theory, that the first number spoken in a negotiation shapes everything that follows. Yet they still wait. They wait because naming a number first feels aggressive, or because they fear their figure is wrong, or because they have been taught that politeness means letting the other person go first. The real difficulty with using a third-party reference point as an anchor is not finding the data. It is overcoming the instinct to be modest about what you know. You have done the research. You have the figures. Speaking them aloud, early, before any offer is on the table, requires a specific kind of courage that preparation alone does not automatically give you. There is also a craft problem. Many people find external data and then bury it. They mention it as a footnote after stating their position, which is backwards. The anchor has to come first. Changing the order of those two things changes everything. What you need before the conversation starts. The quality of your anchor depends entirely on the quality of your preparation. No amount of confidence in the room compensates for weak source material. Before you sit down, you need at least two independent sources that speak to the specific context. If you're negotiating salary, one government wage survey and one industry-specific compensation report is a solid base. If you're negotiating a service contract, published price benchmarks from a recognised trade body and recent public tender data from comparable organisations will serve you well. The sources must be independent of each other and of you. A figure your employer published about their own pay scales does not count as a third-party reference point. Recency matters more than people realise. Data more than 2 years old will be challenged, often rightly. If the most current data is imperfect, acknowledge its age and explain why it still applies. Transparency about the limits of your data is stronger than pretending those limits do not exist. Write down the exact name, organisation, and publication date of each source before you walk in. You will need to cite them without hesitation. How to use a third-party reference point as an anchor. The process. Step 1. Choose the source that serves your position most accurately. You are not fabricating data. You are selecting from real, verifiable material the source that most accurately reflects the value of what is being negotiated. That is a legitimate choice. A lawyer selecting relevant precedents does not use every precedent that exists. They use the ones that matter. Do the same here. Look for the source that reflects your specific situation as closely as possible, your geography, your sector, your level of experience, or the exact specification of the goods or service in question. A national average is a weaker anchor than a regional one, which is weaker still than a sector-specific figure. The more specific the source, the harder it is to dismiss. Step 2. Frame your anchor as a finding, not a demand. The phrasing matters. When you introduce external data, you are not stating what you want. You are reporting what the evidence shows. There is a significant psychological difference between those two positions. Compare these two openings. I'm looking for £65,000. The most recent salaried survey from the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development puts the median for this role at £67,500 in this region. That is where I'm starting from. The second version shifts the burden. Your counterpart is no longer arguing against your wish, they are arguing against a published benchmark. That is a much harder position for them to hold. Step 3. State the anchor before any offer is tabled. This is the step most people get wrong. They wait to see what the other side offers, then introduce the external data as a rebuttal. That approach is weaker, because the first anchor has already done its psychological work. Numbers heard first stick. If their figure lands before yours, every subsequent figure is processed in relation to theirs. Your sequence must be external data first, then your position. If the other side tries to go first, you can say simply, "Before we get to numbers, let me share some market data that I think will be useful for us both." Then introduce the source and the figure. Now you own the anchor. Step 4. Name the source explicitly and stay with it. Vague attribution undermines the anchor. I have seen figures around 70,000 carries almost no weight. The 2024 Rates Building Cost Information Service report puts the average contract value for the specification at £74,000 carries a great deal. Name the organisation. Name the year. If you have a printed copy, have it accessible. You do not need to hand it over, but knowing it exists changes the quality of your delivery. Confidence in the detail of a source is itself a form of credibility. Step 5. Let the anchor sit. After you state it, do not immediately soften it or justify it at length. Silence and stillness after an anchor gives it room to settle. People who are uncomfortable with a figure they have just named tend to fill the silence with concessions before anyone has asked for any. State the source, state the figure, and wait. Let your counterpart respond. The response will tell you exactly where the real negotiation begins. Step 6. Handle challenges to the anchor without abandoning it. Your counterpart will often dispute the source. They may say it is outdated, that it covers a different market, or that their own data shows something different. This is normal. It is also not a reason to retreat. Prepare for three types of challenge. First, the source dispute. That survey does not reflect our sector. Your response. You may be right that it is not a perfect fit. Here is a second source from organization that shows a similar figure. Second, the recency challenge. That data is 2 years old. Your response. It is the most current published data available. The trend over the preceding 3 years has been upward, which suggests the current figure is likely higher, not lower. Third, the alternative anchor they produce their own external data. Your response acknowledge it, compare the methodologies calmly, and note where your sources agree. The goal is not to win the argument about the source. The goal is to keep the conversation anchored in objective criteria rather than competing desires. That frame is where you have the advantage. Step 7. Restate the anchor if the conversation drifts. Long negotiations drift. Tangents emerge. The other side may try to move onto other terms and return to price later, hoping the original anchor has lost its grip. When price comes back, restate it. We established at the start that the market rate sits at around £74,000. I want to make sure we are still working from that baseline. One clean restatement is usually enough. It reminds both parties where the reference point sits without reopening the entire argument. When you are negotiating remotely. Remote negotiation, whether by video call or email, changes the timing of the anchor, but not its logic. In a video call, the same rules apply. Introduce the external data before any number is named, cite the source by full name, and have the document visible or shareable on screen. In email-based negotiations, the written anchor is actually stronger in some ways because it sits permanently in the thread. State the source and figure in your first substantive message on price. Your counterpart cannot later claim they did not hear it. For high-stakes email exchanges where you're building a persuasive case across multiple messages, the principles in advanced email strategy, persuasion, influence, and high-stakes professional messaging are worth applying alongside this process. One additional note for remote settings without physical presence, you lose the ability to read body language when the anchor lands. Ask a direct, open question after stating the anchor. Does that align with the data your team has seen? The response will give you the signal you would otherwise read from the room. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with external anchors. The mistake: using data that is technically accurate, but obviously self-serving. Why it happens: people reach for the highest figure their research turns up, regardless of whether it genuinely fits their context. What to do instead? Choose the source that most accurately represents the specific situation. A precise match to a low figure is a stronger anchor than an inflated one from a tangentially related context. The mistake: introducing the anchor after the other side has already named a number. Why it happens: nerves, politeness, the assumption that waiting is a sign of strength. What to do instead? Go first. The first anchor in a negotiation exerts a disproportionate pull on everything that follows. Your preparation gives you the right to set it. The mistake: citing the source once and then letting it drop when challenged. Why it happens: when challenged, many people interpret the challenge as proof that their anchor was wrong. It is not. It is proof that it landed. What to do instead? Cold the source. Acknowledge the challenge. Offer a second source if you have one. Redirect to the data each time the conversation moves to positions. The mistake: over-explaining the anchor until it sounds like an apology. Why it happens: discomfort with asserting a strong position in front of another person. What to do instead? State the source, state the figure, and stop. The anchor is not a request for permission. Let it stand. If you find that your anchors regularly come undone under pressure, the issue is often not the data, but the composure. The ability to stay grounded when someone pushes back is a separate skill. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations gives you a practical method for managing that pressure in the moment. Your pre-negotiation anchor checklist. Use this before any negotiation where price, terms, or value is at stake. Number 1. Source selection. Have I identified at least two independent, credible sources relevant to the specific context, sector, geography, seniority, specification? Number 2. Recency check. Is the data from the last 2 years? If not, can I explain why it still applies? Number 3. Specificity check. Is my chosen source as specific as possible to the exact thing being negotiated, not just the general category? Number 4. Citation preparation. Can I name the organization, publication title, and year without hesitation? Number 5. Physical access. Do I have the document accessible, either printed or on screen, if challenged? Number 6. Opening sequence. Have I planned to introduce the external data before any number is named? Number 7. Challenge responses. Have I prepared a calm, evidence-based response to each of the three likely challenges: source, dispute, recency, alternative anchor? Number 8. Second source ready. If my primary source is challenged, do I have a secondary source to reinforce the anchor? Number 9. Restatement plan. If the conversation drifts, do I have a clean sentence ready to restate the anchor when price returns? Number 10. Silence prepared. Am I ready to state the anchor and wait, without filling the silence with concessions? This checklist pairs naturally with feedback and disagreement processes. If a negotiation involves a performance review or contested evaluation, the deal method for resolving disagreements about feedback gives you a parallel structure for handling the dimension of the conversation. The difference between anchoring and arguing. Here is the truth of it: the point of a third-party reference point is not to win an argument. It is to remove the argument from the territory of competing desires and place it in the territory of evidence. When two people argue about what something is worth based purely on what each of them wants, the negotiation tends to harden into a contest of wills. When one person introduces objective criteria, the other must engage with the data, not just the desire. That shift changes the quality of the entire conversation. It creates the conditions for de-escalating tension rather than feeding it. The discipline here is staying in that frame even when the other side tries to drag things back into positional argument. If they say, "I do not care what the survey says," I'm telling you what we pay. Your response is calm and direct. I hear that, and the published data suggests the market has moved. I want to make sure we are both working from current information. You are not arguing. You are redirecting. Back to the evidence. Every time, this approach connects directly to the kind of composure described in the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction, where the same principle applies anchor to something external and adaptive rather than responding to the heat of the moment. The skill transfers cleanly. For situations where the disagreement involves colleagues rather than a formal negotiation, the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues and the advanced feedback techniques for high-stakes conversations each offer complementary tools for staying objective when people are digging in. The ground you stand on. Every negotiation needs ground to stand on. Without a reference point, both sides are simply asserting competing wishes, and the person with more nerve or less need tends to win. That is not a method. A third-party reference point gives you ground. That is not yours alone. It belongs to the evidence. I have watched people with weak positions hold a strong anchor and come away with outcomes that surprised everyone in the room, including themselves. The anchor did not give them something they did not deserve. It gave them a place to stand while they made the case. Find the right source, name it early, hold it calmly, and trust that the evidence is doing most of the work for you. That is what a well-placed third-party reference point earns you. Frequently asked questions. What is a third-party reference point in negotiation? A third-party reference point is an external data source, such as market rates, industry surveys, or published price guides, that you introduce as an anchor to shape what both parties consider a reasonable range before any offers are formally exchanged. It shifts the basis of negotiation from competing desires to objective evidence. How do you use a third-party reference point as an anchor? Research credible external data before the conversation. Name the source clearly when you introduce it, and state the figure before your counterpart speaks. The goal is to set the psychological range early so that every subsequent number is measured against yours rather than theirs. Why does anchoring with external data work better than stating your own number? External data carries the weight of objectivity. When you anchor with your own number alone, your counterpart can dismiss it as self-serving. A third-party reference point shifts the frame. You are not arguing for what you want. You are pointing to what the market shows. Can a third-party reference point anchor be challenged? Yes, and you should expect it. A counterpart may dispute the source, cite a different benchmark, or claim your data is outdated. Prepare two or three independent sources in advance, stay calm, and redirect to the data rather than defending your position personally. What makes a third-party reference point credible enough to use as an anchor? The source must be independent, recent, and relevant to your specific context. Industry salary surveys, published price indices, government wage data, and recognized trade publications all qualify. Avoid sources with an obvious stake in the outcome or data more than 2 years old. Is anchoring with a third-party reference point ethical in negotiation? Yes. You are not fabricating data or misleading anyone. You are selecting and presenting real, verifiable information strategically. Choosing which credible data to highlight is a legitimate negotiation skill, the same way a lawyer selects the most relevant precedents for a case. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.